Are you guys ready for the Word? Awesome. Christina Leon is not only leading worship for us tonight, but she is also preaching. She has this message, just the title of this message that I'm not going to ruin for, is going to just make you interested in the message. And I just wanted you guys to know that she has an amazing teacher gift. She has the ability to just lay open the Word of God in a way that just goes right to your heart. And so she's preaching tonight off of my platform, which I'm preaching off of Josh Tanner's platform. And so I just want you to know that she has all the authority here tonight under the Lord to bring the Word with power. Amen. And so we're going to receive her tonight as a woman of God. You ready, girl? All right. Let's give her whatever that thing's called.
Awesome. I have like a million pages of notes, so I have to find which ones I'm actually preaching from. That's what happens when you are like me. Okay. Those are the ones. All right. Are you guys ready for the Word tonight?
Yeah.
A little bit? Do you guys have your Bibles?
Yeah.
We're going to start in the book of Esther. How many of you have actually heard somebody preach from the book of Esther? Yeah, it's not common. You know, okay, well, maybe it is. But. So what kind of, I'm preaching from the NIV tonight. What kind of translations do we got in the house? Who's got New King James?
Woo!
Couple? What about the NLT? Nobody? How many people have the NIV?
Yeah!
What about the, what?
The Joey T translation.
That's scary. What about the Message? Do we have anybody that has a Message tonight? Two people that have the Message. Okay, I'm not going to say any their names. Because I am going to say that if this is the only time you're opening your Word during the week, that is a problem. That is a really big problem. We want to cultivate here at Generation Ministries, and hopefully all everywhere in every church they're cultivating this, reading your Bible every week. It's a problem if this is the only time you open your Bible during the week. You need to be spending more time in your Word during the week than you ever do at church. Amen? Also, if you have the Message and that's the only thing that you read out of, that is also a problem. You should get a real translation because that's really more of a commentary. Good? Don't stone me. All right, we're going to start in Esther chapter 2, verse 12. Esther chapter 2, verse 12. Before a girl's turn came to go into King Xerxes, she had to complete 12 months of beauty treatments prescribed for the women, 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 with perfumes and cosmetics. And this is how she would go to the king. Anything she wanted was given her to take with her from the harem, the harem is where the concubines live, to the king's palace. In the evening, she would go there and in the morning return to another part of the harem where the concubines live to the care of Shashgaz, the king's eunuch who was in charge of the concubines. She would not return to the king unless he was pleased with her and summoned her by name. When the turn came for Esther, the girl Mordecai had adopted, the daughter of his uncle Abihail, to go to the king, she asked for nothing other than what Haggai, the king's eunuch, who was in charge of the harem, where the concubines live, suggested. And Esther won the favor of everyone who saw her. She was taken to King Xerxes in the royal residence in the 10th month, the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. Now the king was attracted to Esther more than to any of the other women, and she won his favor and approval more than any of the other virgins. So he set a royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. And the king gave a great banquet, Esther's banquet, for all his nobles and officials. He proclaimed a holiday throughout the provinces and distributed gifts with royal liberality. So to give you a little bit of background information on what's happening here, is King Xerxes is the king of Persia. He is the most powerful king in the ancient Near East. And Queen Vashti, his queen, has kind of made him a little angry because he was holding this banquet to proclaim and to show how great he was. And he wanted to bring Queen Vashti in to show her off to all of his noblemen. And she refused to come. She disobeyed him. So he got really angry and said, I don't want her to be queen anymore. He was advised to find a new queen. And so that's where we see this starting here. So what happened was they went into all of the provinces. There are like 127, I think, like 127 provinces of King Xerxes, of his kingdom. And they found all of the most beautiful virgins, all of the most beautiful young women that they could find. Now, these girls that were coming into the kingdom, these were girls. They came from rich, poor, noble, ignoble. They were coming from every lifestyle you could think of. And they were coming into this situation. And so the concept that I want to talk to you about tonight is these girls became concubines when they came into the kingdom. They were immediately made concubines. As soon as they gathered these girls, these virgins, they were immediately made concubines. And before I get into it too far, we'll talk about what it means to be a concubine and what it means to be a queen. So if you are taking notes, the title of my message is called Concubine or Queen. There it is. May 29th, 2008. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just worship you tonight. God, I pray that your word, God, would just speak into our hearts as a congregation. God, I give you my lips and my tongue, God, and my soul and my spirit, God, and my will. Lord, I just submit them to you. Lord, I pray that you would just till the soil in people's hearts tonight. God, that you would engage their hearts, that you would speak truth to us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So concubines, who were these girls? They were, like I said, they were noble, they were ignoble. They came from every part of life. Some of these girls were probably from the country and promised to pig farmers or shepherders or something like that. But even the wealthiest girls were brought into this kingdom, and probably none of them had ever experienced what it was like to be a part of a kingdom, what it was like to be living in all of the luxuries and the gold and the silk and jewels and just comfort. They had handmaidens that were given to them. People were serving them now. But what a concubine is actually a wife of the king. They're a secondary wife, but they are a wife of the king. So these girls are coming into a situation where they are now wives of the most powerful man in the entire world. So they are experiencing the hierarchy of women in the kingdom. You have the queen, and then you have his wives that bear his children, and then you have the concubines, which are these secondary wives of the king. They are actually women that serve the king. They go on hunting trips with him. They do whatever he wants them to do. They serve him behind closed doors. They serve him in the open. They do whatever he wants. But they can only come before him if they are summoned by name, if he calls them, if they make a good enough impression the first time to where he wants them to come back and be in his presence. So these girls are coming from all shapes and sizes and styles of life. And they're coming into something that they weren't prepared for. It's completely different. They're coming into a completely new lifestyle. It doesn't matter how rich they were or how poor they were, they're coming into something that is completely new. So they may not ever get to spend time with their family again the same way, or their friends, you know, that husband that they were sworn to, that they looked forward to, maybe the person that they were in love with, whatever, they no longer get to have that lifestyle. They're in a completely new lifestyle when they enter the kingdom. They live under completely different customs. See, Esther was a Jew when she came into the kingdom. She was coming into a Persian custom, which was very different than the Jewish custom. So we can see this incredibly new lifestyle. But these girls, every single one of them, because they were wives of the king, now belonged to the king. They were members of the kingdom. They belonged to the king. They got to enjoy all of the benefits and all of the pleasures of being members of the kingdom. They got to experience all of the wealth. They got to experience all of the luxury of being members of the kingdom. But they weren't the queen. They were concubines. They weren't queens. There was only one queen. See, I think that a lot of us, we enjoy our lives as concubines in the kingdom. We enjoy the benefits and the pleasures of being members of the kingdom with no responsibility. We get to have our own desires. We get to enjoy the benefits of going to heaven when we die and maybe having an intimate experience with the Lord at times. But we aren't the queen. They weren't the queen. Esther was the only one who found favor with the queen, with the king. Before I go any further, I just want to make sure that you gentlemen in the audience aren't tuning out right now. Okay? Because I know that when I ask, are you a concubine or are you a queen? You're going to want to answer no to both. Because there's nothing worse than saying, I know I don't want to be a concubine, but I also know I definitely don't want to be called a queen. Right? So I don't want you to tune out right now, because I know that every single one of you gentlemen in this room have the ability to translate what I'm saying right now. Okay? So don't tune out and say, I don't want to be a queen, because that's gay. I want you to listen to what I'm saying, and I want you to translate it in a way, and I'll help you a little bit along the way, but you guys are going to have to really tune in right now and pay attention to what I'm saying so that you can translate it. All right? Girls, this is a message for you, because we hear guys talk a lot. As one of my amazing sisters says, is we hear too many sports analogies from the pulpit. Amen. Esther found favor with the king. How did Esther find favor with the king? If we look at verse 15, it says, when the turn came for Esther to go to the king, she asked for nothing other than what Haggai, the king's eunuch, who was in charge of the harem, suggested. And Esther won the favor of everyone who saw her. Everyone who saw her. She was taken to King Xerxes in the royal residence in the 10th month. And now the king was attracted to Esther more than to any of the other women. And she won his favor and approval more than any of the other virgins. What did Esther do different than the other girls? I'm going to tell you what she did different. See, they were able, every concubine, before they were going to go before the king, before they were going to spend their night with the king, and he was going to decide whether he liked her or not, whether she was fit to be queen, and then she would go back to the harem where the concubines live. And what happened is that before they got to go before the king, they got to go into this treasury, and they got to choose whatever they wanted to wear. Any jewels, any earrings, any necklaces, any clothing, anything they wanted. They got to go to Nordstrom's and pick out the most incredible dress. They got to go to fine jewelry and pick out whatever diamonds and necklaces and shoes they wanted, anything. They got to go and wear whatever they wanted. And the best part was, is that whatever they picked out, they could pick out anything, as much as they wanted. And whatever they picked out, they got to keep it. They got to keep it. Whether they were chosen or not, they got to keep it and take it home with them. I have to say that if I was given the opportunity to go to Nordstrom's and or any place and pick out whatever I wanted and take it all home with me, I would probably like walk along the fine jewelry and say, I want that and that and that and that, and pretty much put on like 5 rings per finger and get like the most blingy dress I could find, some Stuart Weitzman shoes with diamond accessories and anything. I mean, I would just totally cover myself in the most gaudy, sparkly, blingy things that I could find. You get to take it home. What kind of an idiot would walk in and only get one outfit and, like, simplify things? I mean, you could decide not to wear that much later. You don't have to always wear all of it. Why not get as much as you can the first time, take it home with you? But I think that I could probably see the majority of the girls doing just that. I mean, I could probably see pretty much all of them. Even if they were pretty simplistic, they understood what was happening. They got to keep whatever they wanted. But Esther was a little bit different. And, you know, I know that the movie, you know, One Night with the King, if you guys have seen it, you know, they show her walking in and she's, like, wearing a really simple dress with, like, a necklace. And she says, he's like, why are you so simple? And she says, because you have my heart. And cheesy things like that, and it's awesome. But I want to kind of, you know, I don't want to completely erase that picture, but I don't want you to think that it was just simplicity was the best thing and that she wore, like, you know, nothing. That she walked into Nordstrom's and picked out, like, a dress and a necklace. But what Scripture does say is that she asked for nothing other than what was suggested by someone who knew the king the best. She only asked for what the king would find favor in, what the king liked, what would please the eyes of the king. See, if I'm going to go before the king and I have the opportunity to wear whatever I wanted and anything that I walk out of the store with, that's what I'm wearing to my first experience with the king, you know, I would probably want to pick, like, you know, maybe something that the king would like. If I was a selfish person, if I thought, you know what, there's so many concubines, what are the chances of me actually getting picked as queen? I may as well just get the things that I like, you know? The chances of him actually picking me are pretty slim. I mean, there's like hundreds of girls that he's going to choose from. It's unlikely he's going to choose me. So I'm going to get the things that I like, you know? I'm going to get the colors that I like. I don't care what he likes, you know? It's not going to matter in the end anyways. But Esther thought, the only way that I'm going to win favor with the king is to wear and choose the things that please him the most. She had never met the king, so she asked and found out, what pleases the king? What does the king find favor in? And that was the only thing that she wore. And we read that the king was attracted to Esther more than to any of the other women, and she won his favor and approval more than any of the other virgins. Do you know what pleases our king? Do you know what he finds favor in? Do you know what pleases his eye? And I'm going to leave that out there for a second because we'll come back to it. So we know what it means to be a concubine. We can kind of see what this looks like to be a concubine. But what does it mean to be queen? What does it mean? What was Esther's experience as a queen? And what does that actually mean for us? How does that translate? So go ahead and turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Are you a concubine or a queen?
Queen.
I really hope that that's recorded. Oh, that's good. Okay. Verse 26. Everybody there? Everybody good? Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." So at this point, we kind of see where man receives dominion over the earth. And Adam and Eve are kings or queens in the sense that they now are given this dominion and rule over creation. So they are given complete rule over creation. The birds of the air and the fish of the sea. I almost said birds of the sea. That would have been funny. But what happened is that after the fall, after sin came into the world, they no longer served as kings. Their kingship was lost. They lost dominion. And what actually happened is that they were subject to creation. They were subject to the harshness of creation. Now they were seeing themselves subject to droughts and floods and tyrannical rulers like Saddam Hussein and Stalin and Mussolini and Hitler. There's tsunamis. There's shark attacks, and there's snakes, and there's spiders, and there's things that kill and destroy. And man no longer has authority over these things. Man no longer has the ability to rule over creation. They lost that ability. And in fact, because of the fall, because of sin, the nobility of man was lost. And God created man to be kings and queens, to fulfill the office of king. And ever since the fall, ever since sin entered the world, man has been attempting to regain, to reestablish the office of king in purity. And there's been some godly kings. There's been some ungodly kings. Mostly ungodly, but we've seen a few in Scripture through the kingdom of Israel. We saw, you know, King David and King Solomon, and these were really great kings. We see a few of them, but they still didn't fully establish the kingship that God had intended. He intended the kingship to be served in purity and righteousness. And we see that partially, but we don't see it fully until Christ came. Christ came as the only man to take back dominion. He's the only man that's ever lived that has fulfilled the office of king in purity and in righteousness. And he doesn't just have dominion over earth. He has dominion over eternity, and he has dominion over the new heaven and over the new earth. He is king forever, and he reigns with a scepter of righteousness and of holiness. So Christ, he has created the new throne. He has created and established the kingship, the dominion. So he rules over the kingdom. This kingdom that we've been talking about for the last few weeks, he is king. He's the one who has made his throne there. So what does that mean for us? How do we get to be kings and queens? What does it mean to say, are you a concubine or queen? If you can't really answer king or queen, because you don't get to be king or queen in the kingdom. You don't get that opportunity. Man lost that opportunity, and there's no way that any of us can serve in that position with purity and righteousness. Amen? Only Christ can do that. Are you guys hearing me? So what does that mean for us? What does it mean for us to be a king or a queen? If we look back in Genesis, it says, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. There's a couple of ways that God made us in his image. One is by nature and constitution. So not in the nature or the constitution is like form. So not in that sense that our bodies, our physical bodies, are made in his image, because Christ is the only physical representation of Christ. The Word became flesh. So Christ is the only one who is made in the full image of God. We are made in the image of God by our souls. Our souls represent Christ by our understanding, our will, our active power, our emotions. So that's one way, and I'm not going to go into that too much. The second one is by purity and integrity. And there's a few scriptures that talk about our knowledge, our righteousness, and true holiness. That as we enter into the new life, when we enter into the kingdom and become members of the kingdom, that we put off the new self, or the old self, and put on the new self in true holiness. So we become representatives of Christ. And the third way is by position and influence. And this is the one that we're going to talk about tonight. We are God's representatives. We represent the king. See, in the ancient Near East, in this time where King Xerxes, who was the king in the story of Esther, they believed themselves to be gods. So kings in the ancient Near East believed themselves to be gods, and everyone believed these kings to be gods. But because their kingdoms were so big and landmass, they had to set up statues in the outskirts of towns and villages that didn't live right near the palace. Does that make sense to you guys? So they wouldn't have to travel hundreds of miles to go and display their authority and their sovereign power. So they would set up statues that carried the essence and the spirit of the king. They believed that these statues actually carried the essence and spirit of the king. So it wasn't any different than actually the king being there. The king bestowed his sovereign power upon those statues. So anytime any of the townspeople looked at those statues, they saw the king. They represented the king. So when God says, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, we are those statues. We are not the king. We represent the king. We carry his spirit. We carry his essence inside of us. We are mobile, not idle like statues. We display God's power because we can go out and move. As human beings, we can multiply ourselves. We can expand his kingdom very quickly. We can advance his kingdom because we represent him. We are representatives of the king. But how can you represent something? What does it mean to represent the king? That when people look at you, it's the same thing as looking at the king, having God's sovereign power bestowed upon you. What does it mean to represent the King? What does it mean to represent God, the King of the universe? Represent Christ, who has now established his throne and his power over the earth and over the new heaven and the new earth and over eternity. What does it mean to represent the King? See, Esther was representing the King. When she asked, what does the King like? What pleases his senses? What clothes do I wear? What fragrance do I put on me? How do I wear my hair? Bling do I put on? When she walked around and people found favor on her, it's because they saw the likeness of the King. When you dress, like, because she was wearing everything that pleased the King, everything that the King loved, all of his favorite colors and everything, when people saw her, they saw, that's the King's favorite color. Everybody that knew the King or had met the King, they saw what the King liked. She was representing the essence of the King. She was representing everything that the King found favor in. But she had to find out who the King was and what he liked. Now she went and she asked somebody that knew the King, and she was like, I want to wear only what you know the King will find favor in. So do you know what it means to represent the King? Do you know who God is well enough to represent him? Do you know what he likes, what his tastes are? Because I think it's easy for us to just decide, you know what? I would like to be a king or a queen of my own kingdom. I would like to represent myself. I don't really want to be queen. I like my life as a concubine. Are you a concubine or are you a queen? Are you a concubine? Somebody who serves themselves, who finds pleasure in their own desires, who chooses to do things their own way, to wear things that please themselves, to do things that please themselves? Or are you somebody who is a representative of Christ, who is willing to say, not my will, not my desires, not the things that I like or that I find pleasure in, but the things that the King likes. Esther sacrificed all of that experience of putting on every rings on every finger and jewels and getting excited because she was getting all the things that she loved. She was getting the things that the King loved. She had to sacrifice all of that. She had to decide, am I about the King? Or am I about myself and my own pleasures? Are you about yourself? Are you about your own desires? Are you about your own pleasures? Are you about serving yourself? Are you about saying, you know, I don't really like sin a lot. I mean, it's not like I have any huge skeletons in my closet. I mean, I don't have like any big issues in my life. I serve God, I go to church, I read my Bible sometimes, but it's not about how much sin you have in your life. It's not about what you do or don't do. Is your life about the King? Is your life about pleasing the King? Is your life about representing the King and moving forward so that when people look at you, whether they're saved or unsaved, believers or unbelievers, they see the King. That your life fully represents the King, that you are made in His likeness, in His image. See, God is righteous. God is holy. God is love. God is slow to anger. God is quick to forgive. God is unchanging. He's compassionate. He's gracious. He's giving. He's passionate about the lost. He's passionate about the broken. He's faithful. He's long-suffering. He's merciful. He's patient. He's kind. He's understanding. The Bible says, put on the Lord Jesus. Clothe yourself in righteousness. Clothe yourself in humility. These are the things that please the eyes of God. It's not how much you read your Bible or how much you pray. It's about what are you putting on? What are you clothing yourself in? How are you representing the King? Are you going out and representing the King to the lost and to the broken and to the outskirts of the world? It's not about our kingdom. It's not about our will. It's not about our mind. It's not about our actions. We submit those things to God. Are you a concubine or a queen? Are you serving yourself or are you representing Christ? Are you establishing your own throne or are you serving Christ's throne? Tonight I kind of want to challenge you a little bit to respond. I want you guys to respond in your hearts tonight. I think a lot of you, the Lord is speaking to you, and when you answer that question, say, you know what, I actually am kind of a concubine. I kind of serve myself. I am king or queen of my own kingdom. But I don't want to be that. I want to represent God. And some of you are making that choice in your heart tonight, and I bet that we're going to leave tonight, and a lot of you are still going to say, I really like being a concubine. I get to enjoy all the pleasures of being in the kingdom and never having to really serve the king. Never really having to represent the king. And I hope that doesn't happen. But go ahead and stand to your feet with me. And I want you to make a decision in your heart. Are you a concubine or are you a queen? Are you a concubine or a queen? And if you're having a hard time with that tonight, I just pray that God moves in your life and helps you make the right decision. But for those of you that have already made that decision, that have said, you know what? I'm tired of living like a concubine. I'm tired of serving myself because it's wrong. I want to serve the King. I want to be a representative of Christ. I want you guys to respond in your hearts tonight. And if that means coming up here, if that means that you have to take a step and move forward and leave the old person where you're sitting right now, then do that. And I welcome you to do that. But make a decision in your heart, because I don't care what you do. I care about your heart. I care about the transformation of your heart. So there's two people that we're talking about tonight. Concubines and queens. Now these are members of the kingdom. These are people that are members of the kingdom. They belong to God. But there's another kind of person that might be in here tonight. And that's somebody who's not a member at all. Who doesn't belong to the kingdom at all. Who's not a concubine or a queen. And you can't even answer that question. Because you belong to neither categories. And I want to invite you tonight and say that you can become a member. And hopefully you will choose to serve the King and to represent the King. See, if you're here tonight and you have ever told a lie, ever in your whole life, even when you were a little tiny kid, if you have ever told a lie, if you have ever stolen something, if you have ever hated anyone in your heart, then you have fallen short of the glory of God. And what that means is that you deserve hell. Because the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and they deserve death. And if you have ever, ever sinned in your whole life, ever lied, ever stolen something, you may walk out of here, and if you died tonight, you would go to hell. Absolutely. But before you walk out of here, there's two things that happen. One, repent of your sin. Apologize for lying, for stealing, for anything. For all of your sins, repent before God. And the other is accept Christ. Because Christ came to redeem us. Christ came to forgive our sins and to set us free from our burdens, to send us free from our bondage, the bondage of our sin, and to give us a new life, to give us the ability to enter into His kingdom, become members of His kingdom, and enjoy the pleasures of being children of God, to belong to God. And so tonight, if you know that you are not a member of the kingdom and you want to be a member of the kingdom and you want to represent Christ and you want to serve Christ, respond in your heart tonight to God. Repent and accept the Lord and serve the Lord. Receive Him as your treasure. And there's going to be people up here to pray with you if you want to pray. But it's about you and your heart. It's about you and the transformation of your heart. It's not about a prayer. It's about you making a decision. In any of those cases, it's about you making a decision. So just pray with me. God, we worship You tonight, God. God, help us to understand what it means to represent You. God, we don't want to live for ourselves anymore. God, we don't want to live under our own pleasures and our own desires. God, we want to serve You, the King. God, we want to enthrone You as King in our lives and in our hearts. God, we don't want to be kings and queens of our own kingdom. God, establish Your throne in our lives. God, that we would represent You. Continue to transform us, God, so that we would be more like You, so that we would better represent You. God, that we would be righteous, that we would be holy, that we would be compassionate and loving and giving. God, that You would fill us with faith to walk every day, God, knowing that You are moving in our lives, God, that You have sovereign power over our lives. God, I pray that You would bring the lost near to You. God, I pray that, God, those that don't know You, Father, that You would have an encounter with them tonight. God, that You would meet them where they're at. God, our desire is to see people have their hearts turned towards You. God, our desire is to see the lost encounter You. God, not so that we can grow our church or grow our ministry, because that would be building our own kingdom. God, but we want to see Your kingdom advance. God, we are about advancing Your kingdom and winning ground in the lives of people, winning hearts and souls for You, God. God, I pray that You would just bless every person here tonight. God, that You would bless the minds and the wills of every person here, Lord. God, move in their lives. Impact their lives tonight.
I feel like I have a word from the Lord for some people in here tonight. The Lord is telling me that there's some of you who have put on some jewelry. You've loaded yourself up with some of this jewelry that Christina's been talking about. You've come into His presence and you put on those diamonds. You put on the necklaces. You've even crowned yourself with some pretty awesome things that you think highly of yourself. You put on a crown on your own head instead of waiting for the Lord to put it on yourself. And God wants to replace some of the jewelry that you put on yourself tonight. He wants to take some of it off that it's not yours to begin with. So He wants to take some of it off and He wants to give you the ones that are rightfully yours, the one that you're ready for. And He wants to replace some of those tonight. The first one is that some of you have put on a crown. Some of us have put on a crown of pride. We put it on our head and we think highly of ourselves. We're self-righteous. and our hearts are hard. And God is saying, cast off that crown. It's not yours. Put on the crown of humility, and you'll find favor in my presence and with people around you, and you'll have my approval. The second one is that some of you have picked out outfits. Clothe yourselves with self-pity. Look at me, look at me, look at me. Oh, woe is me, woe is me. And despair, and despair. You are always sad. There's some of you in here who have just this deep sadness that doesn't ever leave you alone, that consumes your life. There's always a problem. And God is saying, I'm going to clothe you with security, with confidence, and with power. Take off that cloak. Take off that garment of self-pity and put on my security, and my power will rest upon you. The next one is some of you have put on, some of us have clothed our hands with rings of jealousy and judgment. And the Lord wants to replace those with peace and right standing with him. Take off these pieces of jewelry. Lay them before the Lord and receive his peace, receive his security, receive his power. And receive right standing with the Lord. This is your time to respond. This is your time to receive the jewelry that really is yours, because some of you have gotten confused with what jewelry you can pick up and what jewelry you need to leave alone. The Lord has jewelry available for you. He has clothes available for you that are your right size. They're uniquely made to, so that they're fit. They're tailor-made to fit you. They're picked out just specifically with the things that you like about them. He knows you. And he wants to give you those pieces of jewelry tonight. He wants to take off the ones that aren't yours and give you the ones that he's made for you. That will require some repentance, but mostly God just wants to replace things. He wants to receive you with open arms tonight. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for showing up in this place, God, that you are here and that you're ready to meet with us, God. That you are... that you're just so good to us, and that you have good things to give to us, that every good and perfect gift comes from you, comes down from the Father of light. And we just want to glorify you tonight, God. We want to be in a right standing with you, Lord Jesus. Come and reveal yourself more to us, God. We give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in this place tonight, God. We lift you high. We lift you high in this place. We put you above ourselves, Lord Jesus. We give you the thrones of our hearts, Father God. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
That was awesome. Guys, gentlemen, men, ladies translate all the time. All the time. Every time I speak, ladies translate. Every time Gabriel or James speaks, they translate. I wanted to say that tonight was for the ladies. Just say, you know what? The Lord can use you in a mighty way. But I want to say tonight is for the guys. Because if you are able tonight to humble yourself and to translate something that you and I are not used to doing, you'll find that a lot of us guys, we're concubines. That's the way it is. A lot of us guys, we're living our life with a little Jesus on the side. You know, can I get a side of Jesus? And I just want to say, guys, I'm not about to tell a lady that she has to step down because you won't step up. The Lord has put an anointing on the women in this ministry, and he's put an anointing on the men in this ministry. And the people that will step up and will decide, I'm going to wear what the king wants to wear, they're the ones that, if you follow the story of Esther, they saved a whole generation. Esther, by herself, found favor with the king, and a whole generation was not killed because of her. Did you catch that? Guys, gals, if you will be the one who will humble yourself and you'll wear the jewelry that pleases the king, you will be a part of a generation that causes a whole generation to come into salvation. What a powerful word. I want to humble myself tonight and say, Lord, I want to be one that finds favor with you. I don't want to be one that finds favor with man and litters my body with things that please man. But guys, here's the challenge. Will you humble yourself tonight and translate? Because if you will, there's a piece of this kingdom for you. And if you won't, God's not going to hold back the ladies from doing their part. And neither am I. So we're just going to open these altars, guys and gals alike. You can come down and you can pray. The worship team's just going to... You guys got a song now? No? Okay. Jordan's just going to do his thing for a little bit here. Come down, humble yourself and pray. And think about that word. Let's pray. Father, God, I just feel privileged and honored just to hear the word of the Lord. And God, I'm asking that you would let the weight of this word sink into us as men and women here. God, that if we've put on jealousy or pride, we've put on arrogance, we've put on things that have caused us to be concubines, tonight, God, let's just simply throw those back at your feet, God. It all comes from you, and all might as well just go back to you. We worship you tonight, God. If we need to get right, I pray that you would help us not to leave this place without getting right. We love you tonight, God. Find us as kings and queens. Find us as rulers and those who have your favor on our lives. God, we don't want a generation to die because we're not willing to dress the way you want us to dress and to live the way you want us to live, God. We love you tonight, Lord. Amen.